Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the church.
My name's Alex Riddle. I'm 19. I was born in Cedar City. I'm learning to overcome my addiction through the atonement of Jesus Christ.
I'm Amanda. I'm an addict alcoholic in recovery. I'm 20 years old. I come from a family of seven. I love helping other people. I love service work. I love recovery. I love being sober.
Welcome to Youth Voices on the Mormon Channel, the media channel of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Listen as Alex and Amanda share their personal experiences on how their addiction started, how it has affected their lives, and how they are learning to overcome this powerful tool that Satan can use to enslave us.
I love to wrestle. Freshman year, I took fourth in state. Sophomore year, another fourth. Junior year, I took third in state. And then my senior year, I got kicked off the wrestling team for doing drugs. And I went to jail a couple times before I decided I had a problem. I came to the realization myself after, you know, my friends that even used with me were like, you know, you've got a problem. And I was in jail for the last time, and I called my dad up and said, you know, I've got a problem. I need some help.
From trial comes a habit. From habit comes dependence. From dependence comes addiction. Its grasp is so gradual. Enslaving shackles of habit are too small to be sensed until they are too strong to be broken.
So I started drinking at 15, and it just progressed into different drugs. I remember having a lot of guilt and shame. I felt really, really worthless at the time. Like, I felt like, I don't know what I just did. I messed up, but I don't know what to do about it. All I know is that I want more. And what happens with addicts and alcoholics is we take that first drink or we take that first drug, and it creates a phenomenon of craving. And so no matter what happens, our mind is going and it's thinking and it's scheming of some way to, that we can get a substance in our body, whatever that substance is. And I just remember that feeling. And I remember not feeling like I could talk to anyone about it. And at the time, I didn't have the best spiritual relationship or connection with my Heavenly Father. So it spiraled out of control. My parents' boundary was, you cannot use and live at our house. We're not going to let you die in our house. We're not going to watch you kill yourself. So I was homeless for 4 months, just kind of sleeping in parks and occasionally sleeping on couches, just really wherever I could. And then I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired and finally surrendered and really applied everything that I've learned since I grew up to treatment, to high school. I mean, everything that I've learned in my life to be sober. I was desperate.
The battle over man's God-given agency continues today. Satan and his minions have the lures all around us, hoping that we'll falter and take his flies so he can reel us in with counterfeit means. He uses addiction to steal away agency. According to the dictionary, addiction of any kind means to surrender to something, thus relinquishing agency and becoming dependent on some life-destroying substance or behavior. Researchers tell us there is a mechanism in our brain called the pleasure center. When activated by certain drugs or behaviors, it overpowers the part of our brain and that governs our willpower, our judgment, logic, and morality. This leads the addict to abandon what he knows is right. And when that happens, the hook is set and Lucifer takes control. Satan knows how to exploit and ensnare us with artificial substances and behaviors of temporary pleasure. I have observed the impact when one struggles to win back control, to become free from destructive abuse and addiction, and to regain self-esteem and independence.
some of us, well, as humans, we have like this hole in our soul, I guess some people call it. And I've heard it called a God-shaped hole, where only our Heavenly Father can fill it. I didn't have that closeness with my Heavenly Father, and I tried to fill it with other addictive behaviors. Satan put those in my way to, you know, try to substitute.
I was in a lot of pain, and I was hurting so bad for some reason. And at the time, I was reading my scriptures, and I was going to church and going to girls' camp, but I wasn't feeling it. I wasn't necessarily applying myself. Like, I was walking through the steps, but I wasn't feeling the motions at all. I think that's probably what started it, is I was trying to find these outside things to make me feel better, to fill this hole that was inside me. And nothing could do that, except when I drank, I didn't feel anything. So that's where it started. Without the atonement, I don't believe I'd be where I am today, for sure.
President Faust wrote, "Any kind of addiction inflicts a terrible price in pain and suffering, and it can even affect us spiritually. However, there is hope, because most addictions can over time be overcome. We can change, but it will be difficult. We begin by making a decision to change. It takes courage and humility to admit that we need help, but few, if any, of us can do it on our own. The Church has an addiction recovery program that has been adapted from the original 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous into a framework of the doctrines and beliefs of the Church. These 12 steps are found in A Guide to Addiction Recovery and Healing, which is available to priesthood leaders and other members."
I think everyone should work the 12 steps. Like, I love the LDS 12 steps. They go into a lot of spirituality. The first one is, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our character defects. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admit it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics who still suffer.
It's really, like, not just for addiction. Anybody else who is struggling or wants just something more, go through these steps. Even just read them and then try to work them. Your life will change. I've heard many testimonies of people who are addicts and aren't addicts, who their life changes.
President Faust wrote, "A complete change in lifestyle may be necessary. We must desire with all our hearts, minds, and strength to overcome these harmful addictions. We must be prepared to renounce totally and absolutely our participation in any of these addictive substances or practices."
Each one who resolves to climb that steep road to recovery must gird up for the fight of a lifetime. But a lifetime is a prize well worth the price. This challenge uniquely involves the will, and the will can prevail. Healing doesn't come after the first dose of any medicine. So the prescription must be followed firmly, bearing in mind that it often takes as long to recover as it did to become ill. But if made consistently and persistently, correct choices can cure.
The key principle of Alcoholics Anonymous is finding they call it a higher power. Tapping into Heavenly Father and using the tools He's given us, the atonement. And I pray twice a day, at the least, probably more, most of the time. I found the addiction recovery program of the LDS Family Services. And they have a thing that says principles with a promise. And it's prayer, scripture, study, and meetings. And if you do all those things, then you have a promise that it's going to be you know, if you want it to work, it'll work. You'll be able to get into recovery and really go through the repentance process. So I started reading my scriptures. I actually started while I was in rehab, and I started in the Doctrine and Covenants. I had never read it before, so I didn't know how powerful when Jesus says, you know, I'm Alpha and Omega, it really kind of hits you that he's really talking. You know, he's really there, and he's speaking through his prophet, and it's on this paper right now.
I think a lot of people have that perception, at least society does, that, like, they should just stop. Why can't they just stop? But it's so much more than that, and for me, I got so low in my disease where I didn't want to live anymore. I attempted suicide several times, and I mean, I would pray at night. I was like, hey, if there is a God, then please don't let me wake up tomorrow. Like, I got to the point where I couldn't find anything to live for anymore. I was so distraught with life. I felt so abandoned and so alone, and I felt so much guilt and so much shame. But today, like, I can't wait to wake up. Like, I can't wait to go to bed so I can get up the next day, because I always have so many things that I want to do, and I am such a busybody that I just love my life today, and I never thought that that was possible. I'm an addict of the hopeless variety, and so for me to be sober for 6 months, let alone one day, is a miracle. It's truly a power greater than myself, not me at all.
If you're humble, and if you're honest, and just are willing to do anything, if you want to stay sober more than you want to breathe air, then I know it's possible to recover. And there is hope out there. I've seen many people recover.
President Faust wrote, "There is a way out of the gall of bitterness and bonds of iniquity. If we will turn to the Lord and believe on His name, we can change. He will give us the power to change our lives, the power to put away bad thoughts and feelings from our hearts. We can be taken from the darkest abyss to behold the marvelous light of God. We can be forgiven. We can find peace."
I know, without a doubt, that's how I can wake up every morning and not have fear rule my life. The power of the atonement took away my desire to use, my desire to run from Heavenly Father, and it's healed my soul. It's healed me, and it's healed my parents. The wounds I caused them miraculously are being healed. I know that Jesus Christ lives, and the only way that that atonement could have happened was He had to work out His own salvation by being perfect, and He was. Jesus Christ is my, you know, Savior. In all aspect of the word, He saved me. Every day I get to live because of Him. I'm not dead because of the Savior and because of Heavenly Father's plan for us. I am literally healed because of Him. My brain functions better, I believe, because of the atonement, the power that has. And the deep emotional scars from my childhood are being healed through that power.
Anyone that's struggling or is in any kind of pain, with addiction or not, is that it's not, you're never alone, ever. And I remember being in a park sleeping by myself, and I was 19, and I felt so alone, and I never felt so alone in my life. But looking back, I can almost visualize my Heavenly Father right there next to me, you know. I don't necessarily picture Him up in the sky. I believe He's walking hand in hand with me, and He's carrying me when I can't carry myself.
You should learn while you are young that while the atonement of Christ applies to humanity in general, the influence of it is individual, very personal, and very useful. An understanding of the atonement is of immediate and very practical value in everyday life. It was through reading the scriptures and listening that I could understand, at least in part, the power of the atonement. Imagine the consoling, liberating, exalting feeling that will come to you when you see the reality of the atonement and the practical everyday value of it to you individually. The path you need to follow is in the Scriptures. Read them, and your faith in Christ will grow.
Our Father in heaven understood that for us to make the desired progress during our mortal probation, we would need to face difficult challenges. Some of these would be almost overpowering. He provided tools to help us be successful in our mortal probation. One set of those tools is the Scriptures. Scriptures are like packets of light that illuminate our minds and give place to guidance and inspiration from on high. They can become the key to open the channel to communion with Father in heaven and his beloved Son, Jesus Christ.
Well, I heard a story about a guy who was in addiction pretty hard, and he, or not pretty hard, really hard. And he was told, every night before you go to bed, just pick up your Scriptures. You don't even have to open them. Just pick them up. And that already gave him power, I guess. My belief is that it shows Heavenly Father that you're willing. Just a little bit of willingness, and he can, you know, give a little bit of blessings. So by jumping into the Scriptures, it showed Heavenly Father that I was willing to do what I was told. So he was willing to pour out a bunch of blessings on me. I started in Doctrine and Covenants when I was in rehab, and I'm not quite finished because I started the Book of Mormon too. So I jumped back and forth a little bit. One day I went and talked to my bishop in my singles ward about getting my patriarchal blessing, and he set it back a little bit because he was like, you know, you're not quite ready for it. And, you know, right then Satan just jumped in and was like, oh, you're worthless for that, you know, you're worthless. And the Lord was chastening me, I felt like. Luckily, I was open enough to the Spirit to go home. First thing, hit my knees and pray. And then open up the Scriptures to where I was at in the Doctrine and Covenants. And it talked about whoever the Lord loves, he will chasten him. And if you endure the chastening well, then you'll be blessed. And that was just gave me so much hope and so much. You know, I knew, as I already knew, that Heavenly Father knew my situation. He knew exactly what I need right at that very moment. And he didn't hesitate to give it to me.
If I could, strongly advise one thing, it would just be really someone's connection to their Heavenly Father. If people are having a hard time with saying God, or because I couldn't say God, I had to say higher power forever because I was so angry. But really, it's a power greater than yourself, and I can't deny Heavenly Father in my life anymore. It's too obvious. I mean, I'm sober today and telling my story, which I definitely didn't think was possible. But there are so many people out there that struggle with the disease of addiction and alcoholism. You're never alone. You really aren't. And there's so many things out there that can help.
I know your pain. There's hope for you. Change what you're doing. Change your surroundings, mostly. Jump into the church and the Scriptures. Find Alcoholics Anonymous, an addiction recovery program meeting. And jump in. For people with addictions, if you work on your recovery as much as you worked on getting the drugs, then you'll be fine. And other people that are in so far into money or, you know, other things that are addictions, but people don't usually see them as addictions. Follow the Good Shepherd. Follow Christ. do what he would do, and read his words. Find your own testimony. This world that we're living in right now, it's not going to be enough to live off our parents' testimonies anymore. We have to find, see if this church is really true. See if what we've been taught our whole lives, even though we already know, we need to pray and see, ask Heavenly Father, if it's really true. When we get that confirmation, jump in with all you have and try to do the Lord's will in all you do. Just because He has a plan for you, and it's a lot better than your plan for you, and it makes you happier, and He knows how many people you can help personally and how many souls you can bring unto Him.
I think more than anything, every time I share my story, it helps me a little bit more and more. It helps my connection with my Heavenly Father become greater and greater. And if I can help anyone, if I can spare anyone the pain that I've gone through, or even help them and let them know that they're not alone, like, that is the most fulfilling feeling ever. It's truly inspirational. And it keeps me going another day, keeps me wanting to stay sober another day at a time. Well, I definitely have a strong passion and a strong desire to become a counselor. An LSAC is what it's called. It's a licensed substance abuse counselor. And I believe that I was meant to go through what I went through to help other people. Heavenly Father trusts us a lot to be able to get back to Him and not only come back to Him, but bring our army with us. I honestly just want to help people. I want to help people know that regardless of whatever pain you're in, you really are never alone, and that God really is always there with you.
So by working on myself and trying to help myself, I've already helped, for example, my older brother. We were good using buddies. I'm not scared to say it because everybody knows, you know. And he sees that I'm happy now. And I didn't have to preach unto him about how happy I was or happy I am. He saw it. And by working on myself, he sees it and he wants what I have. So he asked. We're working on it. I believe I had to go through all that stuff I went through so I could help other people that are going through the same thing I am. So that's my purpose, is to help other people out with addiction. And even people that don't have addictions, that are unhappy, to help them out, to just do what Heavenly Father wants me to do. That's my purpose. My main purpose is to do His will.
To become an instrument in the hands of God is a great privilege and sacred responsibility. Wherever we live, whatever our circumstances, no matter our marital status or age, the Lord needs each one of us to fulfill her unique part in building His kingdom in this final dispensation. It is my testimony that we can know what the Lord wants us to do and experience the blessing which hath been bestowed upon us, that we have been made instruments in the hands of God to bring about this great work. My desire tonight is to share part of my very personal journey of coming to understand how we become such instruments. I start where my journey ended, in this sublime truth taught by Elder Neil A. Maxwell. The submission of one's will is really the only uniquely personal thing we have to place on God's altar. The many other things we give are actually the things He has already given or loaned us. However, when you and I finally submit ourselves by letting our individual wills be swallowed up in God's will, then we are really giving something to Him. It is the only possession which is truly ours to give.
I know the church is true. I know that the gospel is true. With my experiences in my life, I couldn't deny it. I couldn't deny that that the atonement is not real. It is so real in my life, and I have to use it on a daily basis. I have to feel it on a daily basis. My connection with my Heavenly Father is surreal, and He truly is my best friend, and He truly does hold my hand and take me places where I didn't think I could go. And He literally does for me what I cannot do for myself. I've lost a lot of friends to the disease of addiction, and I am super grateful for the gospel to know that I'm going to be able to see their faces again and that they're on the other side fighting for me. I love the gospel. I love being able to know more and more about it, and I love being able to feel it is more than anything. And I just love my life today, and I love Heavenly Father for helping me with that.
I have testimony in the restored gospel of Jesus Christ on this earth today, known as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I know that Joseph Smith restored this church, and that the Book of Mormon is true. He translated it, and prophets of old on the American continent wrote it. I have testimony of the power of the priesthood, that it is the authority to act in God's name and the power to do so. I also have a testimony of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is who He says He is. And He did what He said He did. And He can heal us. I know that Thomas S. Monson is the prophet today. If we listen to his words, we will be blessed. Not just listen, but if we try to do what he says. I have a testimony of the Book of Mormon, that if we hearken unto the words that are in the Book of Mormon, that we will be blessed too. Not just if we read them, but if we try to do all we can to follow what they tell us to do, that we'll be blessed, and that it's true. I have a testimony that Heavenly Father knows us personally. He loves each and every one of us. An uncomprehendable love. I have a testimony that the Holy Ghost is real. And that He gives words unto you that if you have Him with you, that you usually wouldn't say.
It is a wicked, wicked world in which we live, in which our children must find their way. Challenges of pornography, gender confusion, immorality, child abuse, drug addiction, and all the rest are everywhere. There's no way to escape from their influence. Some are led by curiosity into temptation, then into experimentation, and some become trapped in addiction. They lose hope. The adversary harvests his crop and binds them down. Satan is the deceiver, the destroyer, but his is a temporary victory. The angels of the devil convince some that they are born to a life from which they cannot escape and compelled to live in sin. The most wicked of lies is that they cannot change and repent, and that they will not be forgiven. That cannot be true. They have forgotten the atonement of Christ. For behold, the Lord your Redeemer suffered death in the flesh. Wherefore he suffered the pain of all men, that all men might repent and come unto him. Christ is the Creator, the Healer. What he made, he can fix. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of repentance and forgiveness. Through the Father's redeeming plan, those who may stumble and fall are not cast off forever.
Thank you for joining us on Youth Voices on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. To download this episode or listen to other episodes of Youth Voices, visit our website at mormonchannel.org. Thanks for listening.